I started building sandcastles in the sandbox in the backyard with plastic buckets and plastic shovels and sticks and a bucket of water. My brother and I spent hours building sandcastles. It would be a few years before we were big enough to graduate to shovels and dirt, but the water bucket was still a handy tool to have around. Years later, I found myself at the Jersey Shore with our own children and their cousins building sandcastles. The tools were the same. Plastic buckets and shovels, some cookie cutters, plastic or rubber action figures, and lots of water and lots of sand. Hundreds of yards of sand on the shores of the Atlantic Ocean. Even years later, the scenes were repeated, this time with grandchildren. And then there were those super sand castles. It was a competition between dads. Who could build the biggest, most impressive sandcastle? The most impressive fortress. And before you know it, within 6 hours, the tide comes in and wipes it all away. So hardly a trace of that artistic beauty remains. And with a few tides coming and going, there's not a single trace of the sandcastles and the sand dragons. Now to me, this whole process kind of becomes a metaphor for life. Joy comes in the building of those sandcastles, no matter what it is we build in life. It will collapse with time. Time destroys everything. So joy doesn't come from leaving anything permanent, but joy comes from a brief moment of building and the pleasure of creativity during the time given to each of us on this earth. The pleasure is in the building of the momentary building of the sandcastles. Sandcastles, you see, represent our lives. Or do they? Some people build stone castles. These last not merely for 6 hours, but for centuries, and yes, some for even thousands of years. Now, when I think about stone castles, I think about Europe, with all their lovely stone castles and cathedrals and forts that have stood for hundreds and hundreds of years. And I think that building stone castles gives great joy to living, knowing that you're part of a process. The process of building a castle or a nation or a church that would last for centuries, for eons, for long periods of time. And there's a joy that comes from being part of something which is much larger and longer than yourself and your immediate pleasures. That the bricks you lay in the cathedral may last for centuries. What you do can be a small part of a grand design. It's a way of seeing life and the way you live your life. And so that's the images that I'd like you to have in your head as we approach the gospel reading for today. Jesus had just finished his many teachings about the Beatitudes, about prayer, about forgiveness, and about not judging others. And at the very end of his teachings, he tells a parable And this concluding parable kind of reflects Jesus' upbringing as a carpenter and a builder of houses. He laid out his spiritual guidelines for the Christian life. Listen again to what he said. The person who hears these words and teachings of mine and does them, puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And so when the rains fell and the flood came and the winds blew and beat against that house, it will not fall. Why? Because its foundation is on the rock. On the other hand, the person who hears these words and teachings of mine and does not do them is like the foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. And so when the rains fall and the floods come and the winds blow and beat on that house, it will fall. Why? Because its foundation is on the sand. And with no explanation, the people understand the meaning of that parable. That our lives are like houses, like the walls and windows of a house. And if we build our house on a good foundation, then when the storms of life come, our life will remain intact. But if, on the other hand, we build our house on a poor foundation, when the storms of life inevitably come, our life will be shattered into ruins. One stood, the other fell. Why? Because the foundation was worthless. We all instinctively know the need for good foundation for anything to last. And what is this good foundation according to this story? It's those who hear and do the teachings of Jesus. Those who hear and put into practice the spiritual and moral values that Jesus has been describing. Now, earlier the psalmist had told us that it is better to be godly and poor than to be evil and rich. Riches built on evil will be shattered, but the Lord takes care of the godly day by day. And at the end of those days, they will receive an eternal inheritance. So we're to build our lives on a foundation of hearing and obeying God's word. Let me illustrate. Let's suppose that you have some medical problems and you go to the doctor and he or she diagnoses your illness as cancer and suggests that you need a combination of chemotherapy and radiation, and that your kind of cancer is often responsive to this medical combination, and that you may in all likelihood prolong your life by taking the chemo and doing the radiation. Now let's just say, for example, that your oncologist, your cancer doctor, is one of the most respected at Hershey. But what if you hear your respected oncologist, but don't do what he or she tells you? Or only do part of what you're told to do? The chemo, but not the radiation. The radiation, but not the chemo. Is that smart? Is that really wise? We listen to the cancer doctor and we do all that he or she suggests that we do. That's wise. Or let's say that you're going to build a house on a steep hillside where the land moves often during heavy rains. So you visit a soils engineer and architect who has successfully built many houses on these steep-banked high hills. And the architect tells you the many things that you need to do in order for your house to remain standing there. And what if you took those instructions and you only did half of them, or some other portion of them? If you implement some of the designs but not the whole, is that really wise? No, not if you want your house to stand on that dangerous hillside. And likewise with Jesus, the master builder and master carpenter. You see, in Matthew, he's been teaching about life in his kingdom, about the blessed life that is ruled by prayer and kindness and forgiveness. He's been giving us that architectural design for life, a way of living, a way of loving, a way of worshiping God. And he concludes his teachings in a parable that ends with, if you listen to me, you're building your house on a rock. The wisdom is in the doing, in the follow through. The wisdom is in the putting into those teachings into practice in order that the storms of life don't destroy you. And it's not legalistic that Jesus encourages us to follow this new law of love with all of its various parts and applications. Just like it's not legalistic for the oncologist to want you to follow the whole plan, or for the architect to want you to implement the whole design. There is wisdom in doing all that's suggested. There's a strength that comes from doing the whole plan. So Jesus isn't calling us to perfectionism, in which we repeatedly condemn ourselves for not following his loving design for our life. There is a spiritual wisdom, a maturity, that helps us grow in putting his teachings into practice in our lives. It's foolish to cheat on the foundation. Not in a house, or in a highway, or a life. No matter what you're building in life, you don't want to cheat on the foundation. So let me ask you, who or what is the foundation of your life? Who or what are you building on? Are you building your life on the solid rock of the gospel? Or are you building your life on the shifting sands of what seems good at the moment, or on the expectations of those around you, or what's in at the moment? And what do you need to do, to be doing today, to implement the teachings of Jesus in your life? How do we build our house on bedrock? Now, Jesus describes some behaviors that demonstrate obedience. Don't condemn others unless you want the same treatment. I like the comparison of the smudge on our faces and those on the faces of our neighbor. First, we need to wipe the sneer off our own faces. And he calls us to share the treasure of God's words in situations and to people who are receptive. And he says, pray directly to God. Don't beat around the bush. Ask for what you want. Practice the golden rule. Put another way, what is hateful to you, do not do to others. The rest is commentary. Go and study it. hear, believe, and do the message of the gospel. How long do castles built on a sandy beach last? I think that our lives are much like those castles. When the waves roll in over us, we may be destroyed by them, just like the sandcastles. But if we build on solid rock, we can withstand the storm. Would you pray with me? God of wisdom and groundedness, you have encouraged us to live our lives grounded in faith, in patience, and in love. Help us to love others without judgment, but with a firm foundation of acceptance for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.